Hare Krishna. So today, the blessings of all the present Vaishnavas, we continue reading the fourth canto of the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text 73. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Thus,
From the beginning of creation, it can be seen that the first creature is the most intelligent. It is known that so-called modern intelligence has developed by the gradual process of evolution. As stated in Ramavarata Purana, there is a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of superior authority. We can understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities were existing. It's not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word vasta tamasaha is very important, for without being free of ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.1, Dayavanetena, bodies are awarded under the supervision of superior powers. How can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of the living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic instructions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. Tevayam Norita Sarve Prajana Sarve Prajeshvara Nena Tvastra Tamasa Sisrikshmo Vidha Praja. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to pray Bhagavad Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. So again, this is very important instruction by Lord Shiva. And he's explaining to Prajapatis that without being empowered by the Supreme Lord and without authority, one cannot really do anything, because that empowerment and that authority helps one to become free from ignorance. And Prabhupada explains that scientific theory that intelligence has developed by the gradual process of evolution is completely wrong. Rather, what we see is devolution, degradation. And because time is destroying everything, right, in the material world, and so we can see that there is always degradation, there is no evolution as such. And actually, they try to come up with what they call AI, artificial intelligence, right? But some people are totally convinced that AI will never be able to compete with, artificial intelligence will never be matched to natural stupidity. And we can see that the smarter the phones become, the more stupid people become, right? It's kind of a natural process of evolution. This is the result of modern science, modern scientific research. Smarter forms and more ignorant people. And so we can see practically by experience and in history, we can see that there is no evolution, that human beings, they're not evolving, they're devolving. But we may say, Well, in the past 500 plus years, we see some progress. We see some advancement in human society, right? And it actually started with Renaissance. All the art and science and culture kind of suddenly erupted on the planet. And if we look at historical period when the Renaissance started happening, and it's quite amazing actually. I've been to Italy and I've seen all these, you know, pieces of architecture and art, and it's very impressive. It's, sometimes it's unbelievable how can human beings create something like that. But if you look at the time scale, it coincided exactly with Lord Chaitanya's presence on the earth. And so we can understand that because the Bhakti movement started in Bharatvarsha in India, and so the, what do you call it, side effects of the Bhakti affected the entire planet. And we are kind of lucky because we are not, even though it is officially Kali Yuga, but we are living at the dawn of the golden age of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why we can see as we mentioned, you know, lifestyle is increasing, so many other advantages people are reaping because of the effects of bhakti. And we can see that in our lives, and we can see that in the lives of people around us. And Prabhupada said, realizing Krishna starts with self-realization. So if by examining our own case, we can see that very interestingly, because this verse is stressing chanting prayers to glorify the Supreme Lord, so glorification of the Supreme Lord, and we can understand that the ideal and the most powerful glorification of the Supreme Lord is found in Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And as we mentioned, for the uninformed observer, it seems to be something very simple. Just three words. And repeating those three words, what's the point, right? What's the benefit? But those who practice that, they understand that there are massive benefits. So Prabhupada, in his very famous Nectar of Devotion series, has explained that actually chanting of the holy name is always beneficial. But the benefits will vary according to the level of the chanter. And he says that even offensive chanting of the holy name actually fulfills people's material desires. But devotees are not so anxious about this particular benefit because they know that material benefits will always end in trouble, right? If there is gain, there will inevitably be loss. If there is promotion, then there will be inevitably degradation, etc., etc. So all these material benefits are actually a source of trouble. And we can observe that in our lives and in lives of other people. The better it is, the more troublesome it is. Because people tend to forget God. That's the problem. They think, why do I need God in my life if I'm as good as God? This is what Srila Prabhupada explains, that Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, that this is how things are happening. If people are following Dharma, then they get artha. And if they get artha, they get opportunity for karma, right? And mostly, unfortunately, this is why people practice Dharma. But he says, because this is their motivation, material motivation, that's why many times, if people can get artha and karma by other means, they think, why do I need Dharma, right? And it's actually very difficult, even in India, that people think, okay, I'm doing my mantra, tantra, yantra, puja, this and that, and then I can see Western people, they get so much attention, so that's why Brahmins are thinking, why should this bother studying better, better we study computer science. And we can make much more money. So this is very difficult. That's why, you know, South India, Bangalore, right, is the biggest hub, one of the biggest hubs on the planet for computer engineering. Used to be the biggest hub for Brahmanas, right? Very discovered, but now is the biggest hub for material science, right? Because people want artha, and so if they cannot get artha by dharma, then they resort to some other means. But the kind of artha they get actually brings them trouble. They don't understand this. Because it's only when you get artha from Krishna, and also if you use artha in the service of Krishna, only then it is completely safe situation. Otherwise, so many people gained so many things and then they lost it all. This kind of artha, which is gained in through adharma, is very problematic. When I was young, I saw one movie which was, you know, kind of someone robbed a bank and they got the whole tray full of golden bricks. And so then they were escaping with these golden bricks somewhere, and then police was after them, and then rivalry mafia was after them. So anyway, long movie, and so people fighting and shooting each other for all these golden bricks. And then there is like last guy left, and he's escaping from police, I think, and then he shoots police, and police, and it's happening on the like narrow mountain road, and then he shoots the police car, and then the police car goes off the cliff. But then, while shooting, he loses control of the vehicle, at this kind of, you know, open van. And it goes towards the cliff, and then she presses the brakes, and then the, you know, the van is on the edge of the cliff, tilting like this, and he's trying to, you know, get out of the vehicle, opening the door, but then that, you know, case with golden bricks is actually overweighting, and then he's seeing that the van is losing balance and goes off the cliff. And then, no matter how many times he's trying to do that, you know, and every time the van tilts and that case with the bricks goes further towards the, you know, rear of the van, and it tilts more and more. And it's kind of van which doesn't have the partition between the driver's seat and the back of the van. And then he realizes that another move, another time he will try to get out, you know, he will go off the cliff together with the van. And then he realizes that the only way to survive is to get that case with the gold off, and then he kind of reaches the case with his leg and kicks it out, and it goes, it goes down, and then he survives. It's like so much trouble. And then he had to lose everything just for the sake of survival, right? Because he understood, okay, if I'm dead, you know, how this golf gonna help me? But I, you know, this is like a very difficult story of material life. People struggle so much for artha, for wealth, trying to enjoy, but then they get into so much trouble. Actually, all their wealth, all their artha cannot help them to get out of trouble, actually. And so, yeah, that's why if we get any artha through adharma, and we only invite trouble to our lives. And that's why, only the artha which is gained by dharma is safe, relatively safe. But if you go into self-verification, we might forget dharma and go into dharma again. And that's why, chanting of the holy name is yagya, right? And yagya is the primary dharma for all the human beings. And so this is the first and really minimal benefit of the chanting of the holy name, that your material desires are fulfilled. That materially you see benefits in your life. That troubles are going away, right? Pleasure me and shubhada, and good things are coming. It's a pretty good deal, right? Many people dream about it. But all my troubles disappear and all the benefits come in into my life. But this is really first stage of devotional development. And devotees are not so much interested, because even by offensive chanting, all these things, material benefits are available. But if you try to chant without offense, that's Namam Bhas, purification, third stage, then you get liberation. Of course, devotees are not interested in liberation, in personal liberation, but devotional liberation means you become immune to the influence of the modes of nature. And that's pretty good level of spiritual advancement, becoming immune to circumstances and pains and pleasures of this world, overcoming reality. Yeah. How many of you want to have that level beyond reality? For that, we need to try to chant, avoiding all the offenses. That's none of us. And of course, the topmost benefit is only available through Sudana, pure in the name. And what is the top benefit? Krishna Prema, pure love for Krishna, which is Ananda Vayogyasat, the situation of total bliss. So, if you chant Nama Pass, you get peace. If you chant Shudanam, you get bliss. And so this is how it works. And so that's why real advancement is coming through the chanting. through glorifying the Lord. And because Lord Chaitanya started spreading not just pure holy name, but pure holy name imbued with Krishna prema, so the whole world got benefited and still gets benefits and will be getting benefits for 10,000 years. So it didn't happen by human evolution. If you look at the history before Lord Chaitanya came, and so before the Renaissance started, these were the dark ages, horrible times, real Kali Yuga. And this is only the beginning of Kali Yuga. And so we could imagine what would happen, how much it would deteriorate even worse if Lord Chaitanya could not come. That's why Vasudev Gaur sang this very wonderful song. Yadi Gora na hoite hoito kabiki hoito. So what would happen to us if Lord Chaitanya would not come? And in the same spirit, Srila Padmara sang Yadi Prabhupada na hoite kabiki hoito. That what would happen to us if Prabhupada would not come? So we can understand that all good things in our life, all fortune came to us because of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, Kali Yuga would be just horrible. We can't even imagine how bad Kali Yuga would be now without this, factors. And so we can see that it is happening, that all the advancement in our life, and interestingly enough, both material and spiritual advancement kind of go hand in hand, they are happening because of the chanting of the glories of the Lord, because of the process of devotional service, which starts with chanting, because chanting kind of triggers the entire process of devotional service. And we can see sometimes there are some material, beneficial effects, side effects. Probably doesn't happen so much in Hindu families, but I know it happens a lot in Christian or Muslim or Jewish families or whatever other families, that say some family member starts practicing Krishna consciousness, and then the other family members who were pretty much atheistic before that, they start telling that devotee, why do you practice Indian religion? We have our own religion, we have our own Christianity or Islam, etc. It's very interesting. One devotee friend of mine, he started practicing. That's in Russia, and he comes from a Muslim family. And so his brother, who was pretty much materialistic, and he said, why do you practice Krishna consciousness? We were Muslims, so we have to practice Islam. And the other brother said, well, if you are so convinced about it, why don't you show me the example? I never seen you practicing anything spiritual. And so the brother took the challenge and we started practicing actually. And then he was getting little knowledge from Borat, and he started becoming puffed up with that and tried to argue with his devotee brother and of us, knowledge from Borat, books is so superior, so the devotee brother would always defeat him. And then the Muslim brother was saying, okay, I'll study more, I'll come and still defeat him. And so that served as a stimuli for him to actually study scripture and understand it better. And because he became more serious about practicing his tradition, then they were doing business, and he became successful in business. And then he wanted to kind of show everyone how important he is, and he purchased a very expensive car and started driving this car around, hoping that, you know, his friends will appreciate. But then he kind of purchased a big car, which normally is driven by politicians, and no one's supposed to drive personally this kind of car. You're supposed to have a driver for this car. And then his friends, other businessmen, they were saying, what happened to you? Did you go into politics? You stopped business? And he said, no, I'm still doing business. But why are you driving the politician's car? And where is your driver? Why are you driving it yourself? And so he realized, instead of appreciation, he was, you know, criticized for that. And this is like such an expensive car, he couldn't even sell it. And then he got stuck with this car. And then he came to his devoted brother and he said, you know, you're a senior in the family. I want to give this car to you. And the devoted brother was saying, you know, I don't need this car, I have mine. You know, this is too luxurious car for me. And then this Muslim brother was arguing and arguing, and then ultimately he said, you must take this car and use it. And the Muslim brother said, why? And the Muslim brother said, because Krishna is sending you this car. So this is a very interesting example. I'm pretty sure that this is not the only example. That if someone takes up to Krishna consciousness, Nrsimhadeva explains in the seventh canto, everybody benefits. Some who are more pious, more sincere, they benefit directly by also taking up to Krishna consciousness. Those who are not so pious, they benefit indirectly. But somehow their lives are also changing for better. That's why it says that the greatest benefit we can bring to our surrounding and to our family especially is by very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. It will automatically influence other people. It's very interesting that it says that example is not just one of the ways to teach people, it's the only way to teach people. And so people want to change the world. The first and foremost thing, we have to become serious about our spiritual practice. And so, and we can see that this is happening on our immediate level, and then we can see in the world it is also happening that the entire population gets purified by the process of bhakti. We can see that the Srila Prabhupada started his mission in America in a very humble way, just sitting under the tree in Tompkins Square Park chanting Hare Krishna, right? No facility, nothing. But then it started spreading all over America and all over the world. And because America was first, we can see how much America has changed. Right, that not just vegetarian, vegan lifestyle became so popular. Actually, nowadays, they, you know, even the governments are trying to figure out what to do, because this vegetarian and vegan propaganda completely destroys meat industry, and they lose all profit, and they don't know what to do. They're realizing they have to close it down. And so, yeah, before Prabhupada came, there was nothing like that. interest in yoga, and of course, chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna mantra became so popular that nowadays there are big festivals of chanting Hare Krishna. And these festivals are not even held by devotees. These are like professional musicians, but Hare Krishna mantra is so popular, everybody knows it, and practically there is no yoga school nowadays in America without kirtan. It's kind of accepted that it's part of yoga. If you want to practice yoga properly, you have to chant Hare Krishna. So huge changes on the planet. And of course, whatever is happening in America, the Prabhupada knew that. America is the leader. And so the whole world will follow. We can see that Australia is affected, and that Western world is affected, right? And now even India is affected. And so, yeah, it's interesting that Prabhupada actually had caught the moment in which India was really going down, really was deteriorating, and when he brought Krishna consciousness from the West back to India, then India started taking it seriously, and still taking it seriously because of the Western people practicing Krishna consciousness. It's like in Mayapur, you can see that so many people come to Mayapur, like thousands, probably more than 10,000 a day. But, you know, why do they come? Of course, it's a nice kind of holiday spot for families. For the weekend. But I can tell you that the major attraction for local people to come to Mayapur is to see Videshi white people practicing Krishna consciousness. Right? That becomes a big surprise for them. So that's a big attraction. So this is what Prabhupada created, and this is how he affected India. That's why he said primarily he wanted Western people in Western world to take up the Krishna consciousness. So that's, I suppose, the task for all of you to think how to attract more Western people to Krishna consciousness, because that will automatically affect both Western world and India. And so yes, this is how the evolution is happening, by the chanting of the glories of the Lord. We can see that the entire world gradually becomes purified. Of course, some problems are there, but even the problems happening in the world are actually part of Lord Chaitanya's plan. Very interesting, because this whole economic crisis, interestingly enough, brought about by the advancement of science, and who invented plastic, which nearly fills the world, right? Scientists have invented plastic, and now they don't know what to do with it. Right? And so many other scientific inventions, they're creating such a huge problem, right? They don't know how to stop it, how to reverse it. And so now they're basically realizing that if we won't change something very drastically right now, we're going to face extinction. And so Lord Chaitanya, you know, it's very interesting that he allowed them to have economic development, and he allowed them to fulfill all their material desires to such an extent that it came to, first of all, it came to to the point of saturation, that now they are actually already disgusted with this, right? Because it's like how much you can enjoy it. And so people looking for alternative, that's why spirituality is such a buzzword all over the planet. Because people, okay, they have everything material. And it's very interesting that when you don't have material things, you think, okay, maybe I achieve something materially, that will make me happy. Right? But when you achieve all these, okay, I have all these things. But it never made me happy. What actually makes me happy is kirtan and association with the devotees and prasadam, etc. All these spiritual things, all these spiritual practices. And so, yeah, it actually helps us, interestingly enough, to realize, not just understand theoretically, you know, if you don't have something material, and you read in Prabhupada's books, okay, material life brings only misery, no matter how much you gain, right? If you don't have that experience, you might still have doubt at the back of your mind, or maybe, you know, like everybody dies, maybe I will not. Everybody suffers, maybe I will be the exception. But when you realize that, you already have no doubts. And so we can say, well, Chaitanya is giving everyone this facility, okay, that gets saturated and realize that it's not where the happiness is coming from. And so the whole world is coming to this point eventually. And now they realize that this solution to environmental crisis and so many other problems they face, and there are thousands of problems, very serious problems. It's like every third person in America has no friends, zero, completely alone. Can you imagine? Absolutely no friends. So that's my misery. No matter how much you have to hear, if no one's interested in you, so what's the point? And so there are massive problems all over the world. And so actually Lord Chaitanya is preparing the whole planet so that it would sincerely embrace spiritual solutions. And so the entire planet is looking for spiritual solutions. And so actually it's time for us to gear up and start offering spiritual solutions. But it's important to enter for us into the mainstream society rather than just be on the sidelines. And because what people understand, the understanding of people nowadays, very common, is that spirituality and religions are not the same thing. Again, a third of the American population is claiming to be spiritual but not religious. It's huge, everybody. Tons of people. You can just check on the internet. Spiritual but not religious. So people understand that real spirituality is above and beyond any religious practices. And if you think about it, what is true spirituality? That's bhakti. Right? So people subconsciously looking for bhakti. And so the only thing we have to do is to give them bhakti, but help them to understand that bhakti is universal spiritual science above and beyond any external religious performances. And this is how Prabhupada's desire, and of course Lord Chaitanya's desire, and the desire of the previous acharyas will be fulfilled. That the whole world will take up to Krishna consciousness. We just need to give it to them. We just need to be there for them. And of course, one important thing, because people are still, you know, can have material consciousness, even though they kind of many people, these events from the lower world of nature, they're not as ignorant as before, but still, their consciousness is material, and this is why it is very important for us to have an attractive package, and actually many packages, many attractive packages for offering Krishna consciousness, because, you know, right now, Krishna consciousness is offered in Indian package, Indian quality package. And so we can understand that it's really hard for Western people to appreciate Indian quality. And so that's why Prabhupada was promoting the idea of old wine in a new bottle, exactly same bhakti yoga, same principles, but presented to people in comprehensive way, in appealing way, so that they could be interested in that and appreciate it. No, because people judge by the package, even though they know that we should not judge the book by the cover, but still they do. And so it is very important for us to be mindful of that and present Krishna consciousness and bhakti yoga in very appealing modern Western package. And so Prabhupada said, you can change the details, but not the principles. The principle should be the same, the project should be the same, but package, you can offer any package. And so that's why he said in the Bhagavatam of the Gurkhar that expert devotees are creating noble ways and means how to present Krishna consciousness to the population. Actually, he use very sharp terms. He said they become very expert in novel ways how to inject the Krishna consciousness into the dull brains of the modern population. This is how we put it together like that. And so this is our task. Take full responsibility and offer people spiritual solutions to all their problems. And this is how people will appreciate Krishna consciousness. So, any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, generally we hear that because when what we want from chanting Krishna's holy names is pure love of Godhead, not materialistic benefits. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that if Krishna is really merciful to a devotee, he'll actually take away material benefits rather than giving material benefits. And in some purports, he's also explained that when Krishna awards a devotee material benefits, it's not in return for devotional service, but it's because Krishna wants the devotee to perform service with those material opulences, like in the case of Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
So how do we understand it when, because as you nicely explained, devotional service does bring Kleshagni and Shubhadra. So how do we understand it in the context of those statements?
Yes. Krishna takes away wealth, specifically. This is what Krishna explains in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. In response to Maharaj Yudhishthira's inquiry, because he was quite confused, he said, Krishna, why you are the source of all opulences and you are the husband of Lakshmi or goddess of fortune? And then your devotees oftentimes are very poor. And Lord Shiva, on the other hand, is very renounced. He has nothing, not even home, not even proper dress. But those who worship Lord Shiva, they have a lot of opulence. So maybe, you know, he was thinking these things somehow were connected, you know, that Krishna has a lot of opulence because his devotees don't have anything. He takes everything away from them. And because Lord Shiva distributed everything, who is the one is yet? So this kind of doubts can come over. And so Maharaj Yudhishthira was asking, you know, that's very strange, very suspicious. Why this is happening like that? But then Krishna explains to him very famous verse, Yasya Amanam Dinami Harishita Tanam Chanay, that my first mercy to my devotee is that I'm taking away all the opulence from them. But then he explains further why or in which circumstances, because we can see that some devotees, they might lose everything. But other devotees, they have everything their whole life and nothing happens to them, right? And actually many cases we can see in ancient history and in modern history as well. Like ancient history, so many great Vaishnava kings, they enjoyed a lot of opulence. Krishna didn't take anything away from them. And in Lord Chaitanya's times, we can see examples like Pundarika Udayanidhi, Shivananda Sen. All their whole life they had so much opulence. Krishna never took anything away from them. But some devotees, Krishna does take away, right? So, in some cases Krishna does, in other cases Krishna doesn't. So when he is taking and why he is taking, and Prabhupada had that experience, as we know, that Krishna explains in the second half of this verse, when I take his material opulence, then his family members, they turn away from that devotee. And then all his friends and supporters, and it's very interesting, right? That it's very, very difficult. You will actually know how many real friends you have only if you don't have money, right? If you have a lot of money, you have so many people who love you very dearly. But you're not sure whether they love you or they love your money. And actually, the second is, in many cases, true. And so, you know, when someone loses opulence, then he loses all the materialistic people who are interested in opulence. So that's the benefit, right? And so, Prabhupada had this experience. Krishna took his business away. Krishna dismantled his business. And Prabhupada realized it was Krishna's mercy. Why? Because even though he had the instruction of his spiritual master to go and preach in Western countries, but he couldn't do that because he had his duties, he had his business to run, and he had to provide for his family. But in one stroke, Krishna destroyed his business, so he could not provide for his family also. Right? So family was interesting. It's like very difficult, right? That what family is expecting from man? Bring money, right? And don't be spending, you know. For Krishna, or well, not for Krishna, that we can see. Don't be spending. You should earn and you should spend. Like you can see, very difficult. See in the shops, right? That man is pushing the trolley and woman is putting whatever she likes in the trolley. And man's, you know, part of the deal is paid at the end. Woman decides, man pays. That's whole family life. And so then Prabhupada's family didn't have any more expectations from him. And actually he realized, now I'm free. Now I can actually do what my guru wants. So he actually This ruling was Krishna's mercy. So, in this case, when wealth stands in the way of one's devotional service, then Krishna takes that way. But if it doesn't stand in the way, why Krishna should take it away? So it's very much personal.
How to chant in such a way that rather than getting materialistic benefits, we get the real benefit of chanting?
Well, the first thing, whatever Krishna gives, we need to use fully in His service. Then that will help us to get Krishna's mercy. Because we can only advance by Krishna's mercy. Of course, we making our effort, but Krishna's mercy, without Krishna's mercy, our efforts will not produce good results. And that's why we need Krishna's mercy. And the first sign of our sincerity, that whatever blessings we get from Krishna, even so-called material blessings, we use them for Krishna rather than for our sanctification, right? That this principle is outlined at the end of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17 and especially 18. Yagyadana and Tapa should never be given up because they're purifying human brain souls, Krishna explains. So, you do your yagya, you chant Hare Krishna, then of course Krishna gives artha, Dharma produces artha. But then this is the best. If you use that artha for kama or for dana, right? If you use for kama, then there is no spiritual answer. But if you use it for dana, if you use it in the service of Krishna, Guru and Vaishnavas, then yes, we can advance. And so this is how it is. If you use kama for artha, for dana, then you can actually follow tapa, or you can live in a very simple way. You can become free from material desires. That's kind of indication that we want to become free from material desires when we use everything material in the service of the Lord. Yes? Alright.
What is the best way to preach?
What is the best way to preach? Well, that's a really deep question. These little sages, they always puzzle me with their questions. Best way to preach is to, by building nice relationships with people. That devotees who are dear to Krishna are defined in Bhagavad Gita as Adhyasya Sarvabhutanam Vaikrakaro Devasha. These are the first three qualities mentioned in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Adhyasya Sarvabhutanam means we have no envy or negativity towards anyone. Maitra, we are friendly to everyone, and Karuna, we are very compassionate. And so we can understand that we tend to be envious of those who are better than us or higher than us. We should be friendly with those who are on equal level, and we should be compassionate towards those who are less fortunate than us. So immediately the first three qualities of a good Vaishnava are helping us to understand that Vaishnava should have perfect relationships with everyone, with seniors, equals and juniors, right? With advanced here and innocent people. And so if you
build nice relationships with people, then automatically they will appreciate you, and they will appreciate whatever you do, including Krishna consciousness. So that's called preaching by example, but not example by, you know, religious performances necessarily, but by displaying devotional qualities. So then people will automatically appreciate it. Another stage. Yes.
If the time is degrading everything, how does it degrade it?
How time is degrading everything? You can see that if the house is not maintained by people, it breaks apart, right? If the car is not serviced, then it gets covered by rust. And so if our body is not properly maintained, it will become sick and will get destroyed as well. So that's why time is the destroying factor. Time is destroying everything. Take a look. Okay. That's the voice. That's it.
You said that realizing Krishna is not your self-realization.
Yes.
And where do we get that self-realization from?
Where is the self-realization? Well, self-realization means we're realizing that we're spirit souls, parts and parcels of Krishna, and therefore we can understand Krishna as well. You know, if I am interested in love and care and service, then Krishna is also interested. So if I want other people to be happy when they see me, so Krishna also wants us to be happy when we see him, right? So this is how we can understand Krishna by understanding ourselves. Yes.
Preaching for all wine will be bought. That's preaching a different Western style.
Yeah, all wine will be bought. Yeah.
So, Krishna raised the world, I think, to do that in America. And also, I wanted to see if you have any strategic directions as to how to. Are you preaching in Russia, Russian style?
Yeah. Well, style? Whatever the style is, but the most important thing is to establish relationship with people. You know, we can see that, for example, you do Harinams or you do Buddha distribution, and a lot of Harinams and a lot of Buddha distribution, but very, very few devotees actually coming from those types of services. And I was thinking why, and actually the reason is that, you know, people are influenced by association, right? Everyone is influenced by association. So how much association we need at Buddha distribution? Few seconds, right? How much association we need at Kalina? Few seconds. So people don't, you know, don't get enough time to be affected by devotee association. They don't understand who these people are, what are they about. But you can see that, like in Russia, for example, devotees conduct training courses on personal development. And then so many people become devotees from those training courses because those people get exposed to prolonged devotee association. Naturally, they become become influenced by this. So, I think this is the principle, that whatever we do, if we expose people to prolonged, extended association with devotees, then we have best chances of them to actually understand, appreciate, and take up to Krishna consciousness. So that seems to be the principle of giving maximum association. Actually, this is what Prabhupada explained, right? This is the first and foremost, what do you call it, the first and foremost purpose of creating, so to give everyone opportunity to associate with the devotees, right? But religions got such a bad name that nobody wants to associate with religions, right? And so if we present ourselves as another religion, then very few people will want to come. And so we need to figure out how to expose people to extended association with devotees without religious packages. And we can see so many examples of that over the world by successful times. If we do that, then people start appreciating Krishna consciousness.
What if someone is not good
at relating to others? Then one has to get purified by the process of devotional service, because automatically, the more we become Krishna conscious, the more we have the ability to have good relationships with others, because we start realizing that, okay, these are also parts and parcels of Krishna. Right? Like Prabhupada saw his servant, he was, swiping or brushing off ants from the table very gently. And he made a comment, he said, if you would not be a devotee, you would just kill them. Right? But now, because you are a devotee, you are very careful, you understand, okay, these are also living entities. So this is how Krishna consciousness affects our consciousness, that we become more compassionate, more kind, more gentle towards others, even non-humans, what to speak of humans. So if that's not there, that's an indication that we need to practice Krishna consciousness more seriously. And that if that is happening, we can understand we are actually advancing. That one clear sign of advancement is developing compassion. Because Satchananda Maharaj explained that very nicely, that love for Krishna manifests in compassion towards others as parts and parcels of Krishna. Yeah. Also the same.
We chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and then people think that what is the benefit of those three words of Hare Krishna and Rama, but what is the benefit of those three words?
What is the benefit from these three words, Hare Krishna mantra? We can ask the words, what are the benefits from chanting Hare Krishna? All Shakti of the Lord is in the core name, so we can understand that all benefits, whatever you want, is all contained in these three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. Because Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires, right? That's his position. And so if you chant Hare Krishna, whatever you want, Krishna can fulfill your desire. You want something from him, Krishna can easily do. If you want him directly, he can give, but this is a little bit more challenging, because if you have Krishna directly, and Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and bhakti is the only power which can control the Supreme Lord. So Krishna would rather, you know, give you whatever you want, but not the control over him, right? So that's why bhakti is something which requires a little bit more, well, actually much more dedication and devotion to have, because that's huge power, power over the Supreme Lord, and that Krishna is not giving so cheaply, right? But the idea is that whatever you want, Krishna can give it. But the higher the ambition is, then, you know, the price is higher also. Right? Helps you to understand? Yeah. Okay, I think it should be the last one. Yes?
While doing book distribution, like, sometimes it has happened with me, like, I give it, there are two people, I give it to one person and the other person says, no, you have to pay, so just give it back. So, in that case, what do you do?
Oh, people don't want to pay for the books.
Yeah, so I give it to one person out of those two people and the other person says, just he's selling them, you need to pay, just give it back.
Yes, if people don't want to pay for the books, then it's better not to give them books, because if they don't want to pay, it means they will not appreciate. Of course, there are always exceptions. If someone is very sincere and he says, unfortunately, I don't have anything, but please, if you give me the book, I promise I will keep it, I will read it, this and that, so we can make an exception. But normally, if someone doesn't want to pay, it means they don't appreciate, and we don't want them to throw the book away, right? So that's why we ask for donation, because that is the indication that people give some value to the book. And the best advice for book distribution is don't waste time with those people who are not interested. Principle is very simple. The more people you contact on book distribution, the more books you will distribute. And so the only way to do it is to spend minimum time with everyone. I was doing one time Prabhupada's marathon in Russia, and somehow it dawned upon me, marathon means you go very fast, right? Because when people do marathon, they go very fast. So I realized, if this is Prabhupada's marathon, I should go very fast from one person to the other. And so I started, you know, literally, I was coming to someone and I was showing him the book and saying a few words and asking, are you interested? And even if a person was hesitant, I would just leave and move to the next person. So if only someone would say, yes, I'm interested, only then I would give the book, right? Because I was thinking, there are so many people, I don't have time to waste with, you know, few people. I, you know, it's like Prabhupada said, we should be like postman. And so, if you show the letter, is it letter for you? No. Why should you, like, try to say, oh, maybe no, maybe this is still for you, right? I mean, people say, no, it's not for me, move on. And so I started doing like that, and some people who were probably not so fast, and they actually wanted the book, but they didn't have enough time to say yes, and I would just leave them, and they would start, like, running after me. And I ended up, like, with a few people running after me. Wait, we want the book. Why didn't you wait? Even, you know, why didn't you even give us a chance to say yes? I said, and I would tell them, you know, I'm sorry, I have very little time. And people who are very interested, they're waiting for these books. If you're interested, you know, give the donation, get the book. But I don't even want to stop, because I don't have time. And so, And I distributed much more books than normally. And I got so excited that I actually started running from one person to another. So it became like real marathon. It was a lot of fun. But when you are in this kind of detached and urgent consciousness, then people also become detached from their body and they pick up on your urgency and they say, okay, yes, let me have it, okay. So it becomes more effective. The more you are detached on book distribution, the more books you can distribute. But if you become attached to the idea, no, I want to save this particular person, and person says, no, I don't want to be saved, please leave me alone, that becomes very hard for distribution. Right? We should make it easy for us and for other people. Alright, thank you all very much. Gandharakshima Bhagavatam Kijai.